Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2019. I know you're still riding high. And you will be riding high throughout this week because your Michigan State men's basketball team is in the final of four. Yep, we had some fun on Monday's Current Sports, recapping the entire game, some of the really standout moments as that game came down to the wire. Then I told you a bit of what it was like to be at the Breslin Center, along with Current Sports production assistant Jack Kerwin, who's behind the glass engineering today's Current Sports. Just the atmosphere at the Breslin. Tom Izzo called it the biggest welcome that he's ever received in now, what, eight times going to the Final Four. Biggest crowd he's ever seen after coming back from whatever respective destination that booked them a Final Four ticket. It was pretty crazy. You know, it started off filling up, you know, right there on the Breslin Center concrete floor, chairs everywhere, and then the lower bowl began to fill up, and then the upper tier began to fill up, and then the tier near the ceiling also began to hold some people. It was pretty cool. So we took a few of your comments and calls, many of you tuning in, weighing in, expressing your excitement. We will continue to talk about Michigan State in the Final Four. But today, I kind of want to dive into what happens from right now. You know, what's going to happen this weekend out in Minnesota as Michigan State will take on Texas Tech. We'll dive into what Vegas thinks of Michigan State in the Final Four, and we'll debate whether or not we believe that take from Vegas is accurate. Also, Tom Izzo, I believe this press conference is still underway, folks. It's a pretty long one because not only did Tom Izzo talk today at the podium at the Breslin Center, but a few players also took the podium. All right, so what I'm going to do, because right now we just have the audio of Izzo, you'll get a chance to hear how Izzo is feeling heading into this weekend. He'll also talk about what this moment means to him, what it means to the program. He'll also even address probably my favorite quote that he had from early Monday morning at the Breslin Center when he said, "Hey, you want to burn a couch? You can do it at my house." That was a pretty awesome quote. I absolutely love that. Izzo addressed that quote during today's press conference, and he's doubling down. It's not like he's taking it away and saying, "No, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that." No, he's doubling down with that comment. Izzo is embracing the madness that is March. Okay, so multiple ways in which you guys can join the fun. 517-355-WKAR. You know, we heard from a few of you guys yesterday discussing, well, I should say, sharing how you all celebrated that win. You know, what was going through your mind on Sunday evening when reality set in, you know, watching Cassius Winston basically dribble out the clock, right? And then game over. You know, some of you guys shared really cool videos on our Facebook page of you celebrating. There was one celebration video. I don't know who it was. I have to go back and dig it up. but it was on our Facebook page of, by the way, I'm really jealous of that video because it seemed like you guys were on the West Coast. The weather was absolutely beautiful, you know, Arizona or California or something, but you guys all jumped into the pool and just ran around your house just going crazy. That was probably my favorite one that I've seen on our Facebook page. But there have been so many out there on social media. I want you to continue to tell us how you all celebrated, you know, what that moment was like for you guys. And I want to dive into Michigan State and Texas Tech and what you think will happen this weekend, okay? Multiple ways in which you can join the hour here on WKAR's Current Sports. You can, of course, pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. You can also weigh in on social media. You can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. You can also weigh in at our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream, and we'll get to your comments later on this hour. All right, but you know what's next? You guys know how we start this party by now. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, we start with Michigan State baseball. The Spartan baseball team will open its first five-game week of the 2019 year and continue its current five-game stretch against in-state foes as the Spartans take on Western Michigan today at Comerica Park in Detroit. That's right. It's called the Clash at Comerica. I've had the pleasure of covering that back as a reporter during my WLNS-TV 6 days. We covered about, I had to guess, 3 Clash at Comericas. Always a fun event. First pitch slated for 6:05 p.m. And today is Michigan State's 10th game played at Comerica and the second game against Western Michigan University. They won their matchup at Comerica against the Broncos 7-6 back in, that was 2016. That was on a walk-off victory. MSU returns home to host Central Michigan tomorrow at McLean Baseball Stadium at Cobbs Field at 4:05 p.m. Okay, the Michigan State hockey team, some news here. Head coach Danton Cole announced that the first phase of the 2019-20 season will be recruiting. Nicholas Mueller, I think I'm saying that right now, Nicholas Mueller of Aristol, Switzerland, it's a long way from here, right? And Josh Noodler, Oak Park, Michigan, have both signed national letters of intent to join the Spartans next season. I'm not sure how good both of these players are. Jack, you have any? I know you're a hockey nut, but you're more of like an NHL guy. I'm wondering, do you follow hockey recruiting like that or no?
No, not at all. But Moto Hockey in Sweden is a pretty big program. William Nylander is a very good player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, came out of there. So, you know, could be a pretty good player. Nicholas Mueller. So we'll see.
Yeah, you see how I avoided the names of the teams.
I'm going to guess it's Mueller. Yeah, no, Moto Hockey's in.
Moto Hockey, I didn't know.
Moto Hockey, yep.
Okay, Moto Hockey and also Fargo Forces. So, yeah, there you have that. So, congratulations to Nicholas and Josh. Okay, C.J. Anderson has signed a one-year contract with your Detroit Lions. How about that? That's after a short stint with the L.A. Rams. Anderson had an interesting 2018 year in which he began the year as a backup for the Carolina Panthers. He was released, then signed by the Oakland Raiders and waived 6 days later, then signed by the Rams 7 days later and blossomed into a bigger role following the injury to starting running back Todd Gurley. Anderson helped the Rams through the playoffs, but was used sparingly in the loss against the Patriots in this year's Super Bowl. Anderson will be in a backup role for Kerryon Johnson this upcoming season. I'll give you further thoughts on whether or not I like this move for the Lions later on this hour, okay? Also, we got some news concerning the Detroit Red Wings, and for that news, I now pass the mic to current sports production assistant and engineer Alec Rio. Alec, can you tell us more?
Yeah, so looks like today the S in Jeff Blashill has been replaced by a dollar sign. As the captain of the Detroit Red Wings ship just got signed to a two-year extension. The amount, that isn't known as of yet, but details will soon emerge, I assume.
Are there rumors as to those amounts? I'm curious.
I haven't seen anything yet. But gotcha. Not nearly to the degree of what Mike Babcock is getting paid in Toronto. But speaking of which, he took over behind the Wings bench in 2015 after Mike Babcock had left. And so Blashill is currently 135, 143, and 47 behind Detroit's bench. And he was an assistant with the Wings under Babcock in 2011 and 2012. And then he had left to go coach the Grand Rapids Griffins for three seasons. He guided them to the Calder Cup Championship in 2013 and was named the AHL's outstanding coach for the 2013 and 2014 season.
Yeah, I like Blashill. I think he's a, you know, when it comes to his success with the Red Wings, you kind of got to look at it with a different lens, right? I mean, the Wings are, I believe, still like in a rebuild mode right now. It's going to take some time. So, we'll see. We'll see. The Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees. Detroit arrived at Yankee Stadium after a four-game split at Toronto, in which the Tigers scored six runs. Jordy Mercer had both hits for the Tigers in the loss. 3-1 the final. Batting 140 with one home run so far this season for Mercer. Mercer singled in the fourth and doubled in the seventh. Detroit starter Tyson Ross gave up three runs, two earned, four hits, and four walks in five innings. He was done in a pair of pitches that missed high. Gary Sanchez hitting a 417-foot drive to center in the second, and Brett Gardner hitting his first homer of the year in the fifth. Aaron Judge made a sprawling backhand catch on Nico Goodrum's hard-hit liner. After Adam Ottavino walked the first two batters in the eighth inning in a drive that would have tied the score if it had gotten by Judge. We actually have a clip of that play. Here we go.
That one is ripped into right field. It is caught by Aaron Judge. What a play. What a way.
Tell you what, the difficulty level right there, that's close to a 10. I mean, to go away for into the gap, game situation, 3-1, reaching across your body, tremendous play, and this ball was hit hard.
Aaron Judge, man, he's one of my favorite players to watch in the majors. So, next game today against the Yankees, 6:35 p.m. tonight, the projected starting lineup. Duel for pitchers will be Jordan Zimmermann. So Jay Zim will face off against Masahiro Tanaka. That should be a fun pitching matchup tonight. Okay, the Detroit Pistons lose to the Indiana Pacers. That's right. Blake Griffin missed his second consecutive game with a sore left knee. And he was the subject of an April Fool's joke. Okay, I have to admit this. We were on the air. Connor Mathis, engineer of the Monday, Wednesday, and occasionally Friday edition of Current Sports. I Googled in preparation for this game. I was reading a preview of Pistons Pacers, and I came across Blake Griffin. And you guys know, you can go back and watch the live stream from yesterday's show. I read that Blake Griffin was out for the season. You could hear the disappointment in my voice. It's like my soul was crushed at the moment. And then I began to read reports from the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News, and they just said that Blake was just hurt. Connor didn't know what to do because he saw the same report that I saw, which came from, like, fan-sided. So we didn't – I wasn't all in on it, but I did buy in for a second, and I said, oh, my gosh. And then I got a text from my former engineer. Shout out to Isaac Constance, NBA aficionado. He texted me saying, Al, you fell for it. Blake Griffin is not out for the season. So I totally forgot for a moment amongst the March Madness craziness that is Michigan State basketball that it was April Fool's yesterday. So Yeah, gave me a heart attack. I'm pretty sure it gave many Detroit Pistons fans a heart attack yesterday as you read that false report because of April Fool's. When it comes to last night's game, the Pistons lost. Yeah, the Pacers made a 15-3 run at the end of the third quarter, successfully established their lead to eventually win that matchup 111-102. Wayne Ellington went off in wake of Griffin being sidelined, scoring 26 points. Reggie Jackson had 22. Andre Drummond, a routine double-double for him, 18 points, 17 rebounds, and his 65th double-double. Yes, 65th. Double-double out of 74 games played total. Amazing stuff. The Pistons' kryptonite last night? Well, the depth. The Pistons' bench only scored 22 points. Zaza Pachulia and John Luehr not even getting on the board. Pistons' record now 39-38. 5 games left to go. The battle for the last 3 playoff spots in the East is getting interesting. With 5 teams fighting for spots, the Pistons are still, despite the loss, the 6th seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference, okay? More on that later on this hour. And former Detroit Piston Jerry Stackhouse is in talks with Vanderbilt to become its next head basketball coach, sources reporting that news to ESPN. Stackhouse played 18 years in the NBA, one of my favorite Detroit Pistons players of all time. Before retiring back in 2013, he earned 2 NBA All-Star appearances. He was a star for the last 2 seasons at North Carolina, being named a consensus All-American back in 1995. Also has had some great success in the NBA's G League as well. I believe he was named Coach of the Year at one point in the NBA's G League. And last but not least, I guess they are leagues because the Wings are horrible. But they are in action tonight. Alec, I know they will be playing Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, and so the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Detroit Red Wings meet in an important matchup for both teams as the Penguins look to clinch a playoff spot with a win, but could be troublesome for them as the Red Wings have won 5 of their last 7. They've won 5 in a row and 7 of the past 8. The Red Wings have started to worsen their lottery odds and currently have the 5th worst record in the NHL and an 8.5% chance at a first overall pick, which is what I assume Jack's not too happy about. But
I don't think anybody's happy about it.
Not really. Not really. But the game starts at 7:30 tonight at the Little Caesars Arena, where the Red Wings have won 3 straight. So very interesting matchup.
Okay. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Wings do lose that.
They're dead to me, Al. They are dead to me. I'm focused on MSU in the Final Four. I have zero time for this team right now. Re-signing Jeff Blashill today, I have no time for them.
You don't like that? You don't like Jeff?
No.
You don't like the re-sign of Blashill?
No, okay. No. Don't care for it. Not
we'll
a fan.
We'll revisit that later next week. We ain't got time for that right
we
now.
We don't ever have to address it. It's fine.
Well, there you have that. Okay, that does it for your quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Pick up. I want to hear your thoughts on Michigan State being in the Final Four. If you have some stories to share about where you were, who you were watching that moment with, and what was your reaction to it, I would love to hear from you guys. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR, tweet the show at WKAR News, or again, share your story at facebook.com/WKAR News right below the live stream. Folks, you know the riff. It is still that time of the year for Michigan State fans, seeing as though your Michigan State Spartans are in the Final Four. Pretty special time to be a Spartan fan. I mean, you can just
You know, I don't know if you guys feel this, Alec or Jack, but just walking around campus, anywhere you go here in East Lansing, there's a buzz in the air. I don't know if it's just me, but you know, I'm at the grocery store yesterday, and I'm just like, man, I just can't help thinking. You know, I can't stop thinking about Michigan State being in the Final Four. You know, people walking around smiling and happy. I think that's maybe just my subconscious playing with me. But it just feels different. There's a different feeling here in East Lansing. Am I tripping and saying that?
No, you're right. It's everything just seems to be a glow. It's awesome, man. This has been the best sporting time for me since I've gotten here 2 years ago. So hope it continues.
And I think what makes it even more special is the fact that Michigan State right now, you know, they got to be the favorites right now. You know, looking at Vegas odds as they currently are, again, these could shift. You know how Vegas is. But Michigan State and Virginia are the favorites to get to the championship game. No surprise there. Right now, the current odds actually fall in favor of Virginia at 3-2. So, and then you have Michigan State 7-4, Texas Tech 4-1, and Auburn 7-1. So, again, it depends on what book you're reading. Some books out there that I was reading early this morning have Michigan State listed as the favorite. And I believe that this is Michigan State's tourney to lose. I really do believe that. I mean, the experience, again, this is Michigan State's, Tom Izzo's, I should say, eighth Final Four appearance. Amazing. And when you compare that to the rest of the coaches who are in the Final Four right now, this is the first time. One. So, you know, that experience is going to play out a lot. And I think that, you know, and again, you'll hear from Tom Izzo in just a moment. In about 9 minutes, we are going to play a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say at the podium, because if I don't play the weekly press conference now, I get like hate mail. So I don't want you guys knocking on my door saying, Al, you didn't play the presser today. You'll get to hear from Tom in 9 minutes, all right? But again, I just want to touch on those odds and just elaborate on, you know, Michigan State's chances here. Because I looked at, you know, Sunday's game against Duke and said to myself that if Michigan State gets past Duke, and I'm pretty sure many of you have this feeling, if you get past the big, bad Blue Devils, arguably the most talented team, talking about pure talent here, the most talented team in the nation. I mean, it's kind of, I don't like to use the term smooth sailing, but I'm going to use it. It's not going to be easy. This is the Final Four, and the other three teams, along with Michigan State, are in the Final Four for a reason, and you better believe that Tom Izzo is not going to overlook these next two opponents. Okay, that's not how he rolls. He is obsessive. But in comparison to the Duke Blue Devils, squeaking out that one-point win over Zion Williamson and company, gosh, you got to get the feeling that, man, if we just continue to do what we've been doing, this should be ours. This should be Tom Izzo's second national championship. You know, Izzo went on to say, you know, that, you know, that win on Sunday was really, really special. That entire day, really special for him. I mean, you could see it on his face. When the buzzer sounded and Cassius Winston somehow, some way, snuck away and dribbled out the clock. And by the way, I went back and watched a portion of the second half yesterday. And how cool was that? Because you could clearly see Xavier Tillman when he grabbed the basketball. The camera clearly showed Xavier Tillman. Like, all right, you go this way. Oh, wink, wink, nod, nod. Cassius, just go up there. You could see it. You could see Xavier Tillman doing that. And he noted it in the postgame presser. He said, yeah. You know, that was just me looking at Cassius and saying, hey, man, just dribble up court. Like, hey, they won't expect this. And they didn't. And I think that's experience playing out. You know, Duke's youth was on full display for the nation on Sunday. And what also irritates me, because this always happens, it's Michigan State. I think it's just the Michigan State effect. I don't know what it is. But, you know, I was curious to see how the national media was going to
cover and react to the Spartans' upset over Duke. So I went on YouTube after yesterday's show and, you know, went to my office as I was doing some work, and I pulled up the dialogue on ESPN. You know, I think I looked at, like, First Take. I looked at Get Up with Jalen Rose. By the way, they had Tom Izzo on live yesterday with Jalen Rose, Mike Greenberg. Jay Williams was also there as well. That was a cool discussion. And then I went over and watched the Michigan State and Duke segment with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on Undisputed. And all of the chatter, about 99.9% of the chatter, with the exception, that 1% being that the fact that Get Up had Tom Izzo on live to break down the Spartan win for like 5 minutes. Cool interview. But as soon as that interview was done, just like every other media outlet that I saw nationally, the storyline was what was wrong with Duke and not what was right with Michigan State. It was how could Duke blow this, not how did Michigan State pull off the seemingly impossible.
Al.
And what do you expect?
It's your fault for tuning into these shows.
Well,
were you surprised?
Curious. I was curious. I mean, just like you. I mean, weren't you curious just to see how the national media would respond to one of the most talented teams ever in college basketball? If you remember, earlier this season, I kid you not, you saw this, Jack. They were legitimately debating whether or not this Duke Blue Devils team could beat an NBA team in an NBA playoff scenario.
Whether they'd go undefeated.
Whether or not they'd go undefeated. You remember that conversation? They were legitimately debating, oh, if you put this Duke Blue Devils team in the NBA around June, could they win a playoff series? And I'm sitting there saying, are you out of your mind? Are you kidding me? This is clearly clickbait. So Michigan State pulling off again, this was one of the most special wins in Michigan State sports history. I was curious to see how the national media was going to react to it. You know, and I was shocked because remember the whole Izzo yelling at Aaron Henry situation? And I don't know if you heard what Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp had to say about that, but they reamed Tom Izzo. They went at him. It almost sounded personal, especially when you listen to Shannon. I mean, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, did Tom Izzo put something in your Cheerios this morning? I don't know what was going on there. So there was a moment during that banter where Shannon, he gave a lot of props to Tom Izzo. A lot of props for ESPN, you know, for national media, because they're not what he is being there with Fox. For like 10 seconds, he said, well, Izzo did a great job, you know. Then he gave Kenny Goins a lot of credit for knocking down that big jumper that basically sealed the deal for the Spartans. But it's just funny to me, you know, Michigan State. And Mike Greenberg asked Izzo this yesterday on Get Up. He said, you know, do you guys, there's a lot of, you know, Michigan State doesn't get a lot of press nationally unless they do something. They had to do something extraordinary. Michigan State University has to do something extraordinary, you know, like the Jalen Wash Jackson play, or, you know, like what happened against Duke to get some kind of national attention, right? And Greenberg asked Izzo, you know, whether or not this fuels you, you know, not being talked about on the regular, not getting the attention of other blue blood programs in college basketball. Does this bother you? And Izzo handled it very classy. He just said, no, that doesn't bother us. We just focus one game at, you know, cliche, you know, coach answer, one game at a time. We're focused on building our young men, making sure they get better year after year after year, development, blah, 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 right? But I know there's got to be a bone in Izzo that, you know, when you hear some of the national media and how they just totally disregard Michigan State and this accomplishment, and they just focus on Duke, you know, ESPN, and all of the coverage they had on Zion Williamson, you might as well had renamed ESPN to ZSPN.
I mean, they had their own Zion cam.
They basically did, Alec. They really did. So, I just chuckled when I saw that. But so it's fun being here in East Lansing and chopping it up with Spartan fans about this win and hearing what it meant to you. All right, because this is special. This ranks up there with, in my eyes, it ranks right up there with the whole Jalen Watch Jackson fumble with, you know, trouble with the snap game, which was will forever be etched in Spartan lore, right? They'll probably make a statue of that moment at some point at Spartan Stadium. This win is up there. It kind of, but not fully, of course, because, again, this was not the accomplishment. Going to the Final Four is great, but it kind of felt like a national championship in a way, for me, in a way. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We still got two games left here, but that win was big. That win was huge. So I want to hear from you, 517-355-WKAR. What is your reaction to the win over the Duke Blue Devils? Where were you? Did you run around? I saw one guy on Twitter. He has like a lake in his backyard. He just, you know, stripped down to his underwear and jumped in the lake. And I wonder too, you know, this thought also crossed my mind. Like, I mean, do you think some of these celebrations are staged? You know, I mean, how many people are sitting there like, oh boy, I better get the phone out right now because Michigan State dribbles this thing out. I know the reaction is going to be crazy unless you got somebody in the room who maybe isn't a big sports fan that wants to embrace the moment and film people. But how is that moment for so many people caught, quote unquote, organically on a cell phone video? Do you think some of these are staged yet?
Well, I mean, some of them probably are, but I think most of them are what you just mentioned. Yeah, I mean, somebody filming somebody else who's a sports fanatic. I'm kind of surprised none of my friends have done that with me yet, to be honest, in a game like this. But no, I think for the most part, they're real. I mean, I'll tell you right now, like when we won, I cried for a couple minutes.
Did you? Look
yeah,
at you.
I cried.
You don't strike me as a crier.
I don't cry often. I can't remember the last... Like, actually, I mean, it was only for a couple minutes, but
okay,
it had been a minute since I'd cried. I'd probably never cried about anything in sports, but yeah, I cried when we won that game.
Wow. Was it like boo-hoo? Was it like Rashawn Gary?
No, I was happy.
Okay.
No.
You were just, so you just some tears came.
It's yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Real men cry, dude. I cried during movies. You know this. I've openly admitted
I've only
that.
Cried during one movie. I was like 10 years old, so.
Okay. I cried when I watched The Lion King, and I was like 10 years old when I saw The Lion King. And also, I recently saw... Now, again, I'm not afraid to admit when I cry. I cry watching Green Book with my man Mahershala Ali. It won the Oscar for Movie of the Year. I watched it for the first time like a few weeks ago, and I got choked up watching it. So Michigan State winning a national champ. Well, not, see, I'm saying national champ. Winning, beating Duke to go to the Final Four, that warrants some tears.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Alec, did you cry? I'm curious. Did you cry when Michigan State won?
No, I mean, I was too caught up in the moment because I was watching this game at B-Dubs, like right in the heart of East Lansing.
There was no time for tears.
Like we were
no
all just jumping.
Time for tears.
There was no time for tears at the moment because like we were just too busy jumping up and down and stuff, like me and my friends. And then it was like, all right, we got to go to Cedar Village to see what's going
oh,
on. You know,
because
Porter and me, I wanted to, you know, get some videos of it, you know, and get like some real cool shots of like
Which
people freaking out. And I did. And, I was able to just like, you know, weasel my way in there, you know, between people. Cause it was a horde of people. It was only 5 minutes after. And as soon as I got there, I had to wiggle through people just to get into the front of all of it.
Right.
And
right.
The whole thing was pretty insane. Not to the degree of what it was, I'd say my freshman year off that botched punt, like all of those different incidents, but
right.
That's
this
just
was,
because,
you know, students, they weren't crazy. They weren't too wild in comparison to what we've seen in years past. I think only two people were arrested.
Yeah, no,
the entire day.
See, to me, the big thing is that the ELPD, they can now look at geotags on Snapchat and like any Snapchat story that gets uploaded using a geotag, the ELPD
right.
can track.
Okay.
And so that, along with, you know, some scare tactics like putting in, like saying nobody's anonymous, like little slips under people's doors, like saying that, like that's definitely going to scare some students to not want to, you know, partake in all that stuff.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Of course.
That's a good thing.
Of course, yeah.
If you want to burn a couch, Izzo said, just come. Hey, come to my house. Come to my house. That's what he said on Monday morning, which was hilarious. So what I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break while you guys are calling in and weighing in. I'm going to read a few of your comments on the other side of this first break. Take a few of your calls if we have anybody, and then we'll go to the Tom Izzo press conference. You'll get a chance to hear what Izzo has to say about being in the Final Four, putting in perspective just how special this moment is for him. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's go to our phone lines right now. One of my favorite callers. Haven't heard from him in a while. I knew probably I was going to hear from him this week because of just how big this moment is for Michigan State fans everywhere. Austin from KZoo. Austin, what's up, dude?
Al, what's up, man? You all right?
I am blessed, brother. I'm doing very well. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. No complaints at all. It's funny that you said you haven't heard from me in a while when I called in and Jack answered the phone. I was like, man, I've been neglecting the show because I always build relationships with whoever's behind the phone. So I got to start calling in a little bit more.
Definitely, man.
So I can get cool with Jack.
Right, right. Well, we got a three-man team here. We got it's a three-man weave, man. Alec, Jack, and Connor.
We'll hang sometime, Austin.
Oh, that's my guy.
You know what? You know, I should hang up the call because I've been trying to get in good with Al since what, almost 2011, and I still haven't been able to. And here you got three guys back there. You could have called me, man.
Well, you know, yeah, and a lot of people don't know Austin and I went to college together. We go back, man. And, you know, I'm still waiting on that golf match. You've been dodging me, brother. You've been dodging Al Woods. But that's another topic for another day, okay? But how are you feeling, man? I mean, where were you watching the game? And what are your thoughts on Michigan State being in the Final Four?
Yeah, man. So I was actually in Richmond, Virginia this weekend. I was hanging out with Conrad. You remember Conrad.
Of course. And
then my best friend Corey from high school. I think you met him before.
Yep.
And we were grilling, watching the game, and I'll have to send you the video. I was on FaceTime with my brother and my nephew, and you know my nephew, he bleeds green because we're training him that way. and we're all on the phone, and my nephew there in Chicago on vacation, he's running around the hotel room yelling "Go green, go white."
So that's awesome.
Cool, man. It was pretty cool. And then, so to recap the game, first thing. Who needs Zion Williamson when you got Xavier Tillman?
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, man, Cassius, I won't be surprised if he'll have a statue next to Magic Johnson and Mateen Cleaves, man, because what he was able to do with that team this year was unbelievable.
And you know what, Austin? I've said this, and I got some backlash for it earlier this season, but – there was a moment, and this is when I tweeted it. Actually, you know, it wasn't that too long ago when I tweeted this, but I've been thinking it all year, watching Cassius do what he's done. But I think you can put Cassius Winston right now, based on already his body of work throughout this season, and in his 3 years here at Michigan State, even though this was the year where he broke out. He's on the Mount Rushmore of Michigan State men's basketball players right now, today, Austin. I would go Magic, Mateen, Cassius, and you can debate about that fourth spot. There's about three or four names you can debate about for that fourth spot. But those three, there's no arguing that those three right now are on that Mount Rushmore.
No, I definitely agree 100%, man. And just the production we was able to get out of them, man. How about this? Honestly say, this Matt McQuaid and Kenny Goins is the best I've seen seniors play in my history of watching watching Michigan State. Even though Kenny Goins didn't have the best game, what he did by hitting that shot was the epitome of what a senior is supposed to do, man. And I'm so happy for that guy. And I'll finish with this. We've been to, I think this is what, our ninth Final Four in school history, right? And only one national championship. And what I've noticed is as a fan base, we get really, really comfortable with making it to the Final Four. Even when you watch college basketball, the goal is, I just want to get to a Final Four. I just want to get to a Final Four. And I think this is the year for us to win a national championship, and we'll solidify Coach Izzo's greatness and shut up all the doubters that he's had over the course of his career.
Yeah, and this will be three, if they do it this year, three national championships.
Tenth Final Four.
Tenth Final Four.
Eighth under Izzo, yes, sir.
Right, eighth under Izzo. And, yeah, I'm with you, Austin. Isn't it something, though, because I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, the stark contrast that people have now with Tom Izzo this season in comparison to what happened last year. You know, I couldn't help but think about when I was making that drive from Detroit to East Lansing, just moments after Michigan State fell in the second round to Syracuse, and I was turning on, I was listening to sports talk radio in Detroit and listening to
you know, listeners out there just bash Izzo, call for him to retire. He's passed. His good days are behind him. Can he coach the game, you know, anymore? He doesn't know, you know, he doesn't adjust, blah, blah, blah. And in how that tune has changed this season. I am going to have a segment on that. I've been prepping. I don't know if you were looking at my notes, Austin, but I've been prepping that discussion for the Thursday edition of Current Sports. So tune in Thursday, man. I'll have a rant on that.
Can't wait. And then my last point, you guys were talking earlier about how ESPN and the national coverage just did a horrible job and cut Cassius Winston off his 60 seconds in the middle of his 60 minutes in the middle of his interview. But I don't remember what radio show it was. I'll have to find it and send you the clip if you haven't already seen it. But there was a guy that opened a discussion of his radio show saying that just last year, in light of Larry Nassar and all the sexual assault cases Tom Izzo had to deal with, and then brought up Adrian Payne and Keith Appling and Travis Walton. And I'm like, dude, are you seriously doing this right now, man? It's so disrespectful how Coach Izzo is getting treated and how Michigan State's coverage is getting treated by the national media.
So it is what it is, though.
Al Martin.
Right.
Thank you, Al Martin and Current Sports Team for looking out for Spartan Nation.
Hey, we got to, man. It's our jobs, literally. It's our jobs. Austin, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. That's the thing. You got it, man.
People in the back. I'll talk to you guys later.
You got it, man. Thank you so much, Austin. And that's the thing, you know. And again, I'm not going to spill the beans on the points I'm going to make with Izzo later on this week. Okay, Thursday, I'm going to elaborate more on this and the legacy of Izzo and how the tune has changed in a year span based on the success of this year's team. Okay, I'm gonna spill the beans on that conversation. We'll elaborate more on that on Thursday's Current Sports, but there are a few layers to it that we'll peel back. A few comments coming in at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News right here. Let's see here. Stacy says, I was sitting at a bar watching the game, and as the game ended, my phone was ringing, and my son, who attends MSU, was calling me, and we were screaming over the phone with each other. That is awesome stuff. Shout out to Stacy.
That's Jared's mom.
That's Jared's. That's why Jared popped up. Like, hey, man, that's my mama. Shout out to Jared's mom. Jared is one of the outstanding students who work here at WKAR's Current Sports for the Journalism 418 class. Jared, awesome stuff. Thank you, Mom, for listening. Your son's doing an awesome job. Ben says, I couldn't believe what ESPN Sports Center did on Sunday and yesterday. After we beat Duke to advance to the Final Four, bringing up the whole SA situation involving Larry Nassar. Oh, yeah, that story. I'll pass along that story later on before the hour ends here. We got 15 minutes left. I want to get to that as well. They just can't leave it alone. Respect the fact that we just accomplished something special in our school's history. So, yeah, there's another layer to the whole Larry Nassar situation that went national yesterday. All right, so Ben does not like that. Stephanie says, Al, I have noticed that all the students are walking a little taller and smiling widely this week. That is very, very true. Again, I'm not the only one, and you can just feel it in the air. There is something in the air, and that something is a Final Four berth for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Okay, let's hit our final break. When we come back, you'll hear from Tom Izzo and what he had to say during this afternoon's press conference at the Breslin Center. If you want to weigh in, call in just like my man Austin just did. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Or go to Facebook and shoot us a comment at facebook.com/WKAR News. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Bill Rafferty. I love the team of Jim Nance, Bill Rafferty, and Grant Hill. I believe now that it's the Final Four, Jack, they don't have like TBS and TNT doing it, right? It's just, you did the Hail Mary behind the glass. It's just
going to be the CBS crew, right?
Yeah, and I don't mean that as disrespect to anyone, but I mean, you got Jim Nance, Grant Hill, Bill Raftery. You want them doing the finals.
Definitely. You definitely do. I am totally with you. I love listening to those three. They are absolutely awesome. And I'm wondering who they're going to have at the half, though. Who's going to be in the studio? I'm hoping it's Charles and Kenny. I love those guys because they're just great together on TNT, and maybe like a Greg Gumbel. I don't know. Ernie Johnson, maybe. I don't know who they're going to have at the half.
Oh, hopefully not Ernie.
You don't like Ernie Johnson?
No, not for college basketball. NBA
Stop.
Guy. NBA guy.
Jack, you are,
I like Ernie Johnson a lot,
only
but
only man right now saying that. That is, I've never.
Disagree.
I don't like Ernie Johnson.
No, I like Ernie Johnson.
Baseball, golf. I mean, he does it all, man. He's awesome.
Ernie Johnson, I've never heard him do baseball or golf.
Yeah, he does. They have him on the baseball playoffs, man. He's on the desk with the guys. So
Ernie Johnson?
Yeah, exactly. Ernie Johnson.
Are you sure?
I'm dead. Look it up.
Yeah,
it up.
Right now.
Look it up. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm just wrong. I was going to say I buy you something, but if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Before you look that up, I want to throw to Izzo's presser right now because Tom Izzo talked. He was at the podium today. I'm not sure what players spoke. We're just able to get Izzo's audio, some of Izzo's audio for you. I'll have the audio in its entirety available for you all at WKAR.org later on today. Check it around 3 p.m., okay? But here is a bit of what Izzo had to say in preparation for the Final Four.
Well, to say we're excited would be an understatement. Our mantra all the postseason has been to win the weekend, and that hasn't changed any, but we do realize it's one game at a time and that our margin for error is still small. But being connected like we've been, I think we're ready for this task. It's the connectivity has made this team a very special team in a lot of ways, but the team has had success because it doesn't get too far ahead of itself. It truly has taken things one game at a time. It's I think everybody wants to win a national championship when you come to college, and sometimes you dream too far ahead. This team hasn't done that. Right now, all we're concentrating on is Texas Tech. My staff and I looked at all three teams Sunday and Monday, or Sunday night and Monday, and the attention goes on Texas Tech. If we get the opportunity to advance, then that's what those long nights will be for on Saturday night and Sunday. Not much to say any different than we've already said. You know, this team is mentally as tough as I've had. And what excites me is what some of the former players have said to our guys. You know, it's time for you to get your piece of history here. As I say, your footprint in the sand, your banner on the ceiling, whatever makes people remember about you long after you're gone. And it's a great credit to my staff and players that through all they've been through, they have a chance to do that. Texas Tech, I think they've won 13 out of 14 games. They're said to be the best defensive team in America. And after watching film, I would say they live up to that. They get a lot of steals. They get 17 points off turnovers a game. Where they've gotten better is they're starting to shoot the ball better. They're better offensively. The kid Covert is a definite pro prospect, and yet they've got some other guys that are very good. Moretti, the guy from Italy, is a good shooter. Maybe in their league is talked about being one of the best shooters in the country. And Chris Beard has done an unbelievable job. You know, Bobby Knight, disciple, but he's been a disciple of a lot of people. But I think you'll see a lot of the Bobby Knight characteristics in his team, the motion offense, the way they move, the way they guard. He's done a phenomenal job. He's got, you know, we talk about getting older. He's got a very, very old team. I think he's got four redshirt seniors on his team, some grad transfers. He's got, you know, very few freshmen that are integral parts of their team. And so it's a veteran team in different ways. So all that being said, I'll open it up.
I was wondering if I don't think it was ever really definitive. Would you expect Kyle to be able to play at all this weekend?
I don't. I don't expect him to play at all. I saw him running on the treadmill yesterday and gave him the three thumbs up, but it's 99.5% that he won't not be ready to play. If got to the point where we could suit him up, case, I'm sure we would, but I wouldn't. I'd be able to inform you of that. It's, again, I don't hide stuff like that. But as of right now, he hasn't touched the floor.
And then a second thing, I don't, forgive me if this is going too far ahead, but would you recommend any of your guys going through the NBA feedback situation like Nick did last year after this season, or is that too far ahead to even think about?
Well, I appreciate the way you said it. Is it too far? But I will say it in a non-insulting way that we're playing in a Final Four. It's probably the last thing from my mind. And I think what's different about this team is the last thing from their mind. And I would just say that I would be more than happy to answer that question a week and a couple days from now. But I wouldn't want anything else but them focused. I got enough outside people focusing on everything else. So I do appreciate the sincerity. You have the right to ask the question. I have the right to not insultingly say, but are you crazy? We're playing in a Final Four there. How's that? I got my 2 cents in, but I would have said it a little differently, but I've cleaned up my act, as you noticed. So we're ready to go.
Tom, you alluded to this a moment ago with the age of Texas Tech, but of all the Final Four teams, your team is most reliant on freshman scoring of any of the four, which is stunning. Does it talk about possibly a seismic shift coming back to reality with basketball with the one and done?
You know, again, I don't know those questions, but I have been amazed that the little I've heard or the questions at all the interviews I've done, I think more people are leaning to, is this such a good way? You know, it brought up so much. It was so hard for us because I remember just a year or two ago, I told you all that if when Miles could have left, if he would have left and been a top 10 pick, it was probably better for our program than if he stays and wins a national championship. Now that was kind of as sick of me to say as your question, but at the same time, your question's reality, so is mine. And I think that it's hard to win with freshmen. It's hard to win with a lot of freshmen. It's hard to win with key freshmen, no matter how good they are. Experience does matter. And I don't know what it'll do, but it's got a lot of people thinking and talking. And, you know, I just think that even like using Kenny, you know, yesterday we had a meeting, so we get all our tickets, hotels, parental things out of the way. It was, hey, Kenny, you remember this? Hey, Kenny, you remember that? Hey, Kenny, make sure you tell the players about this, because at least he went to one. And so I think experience does matter. I think, I don't know if it'll be a seismic change, but I think people are going to start looking at things a little differently. You know, it's hard to try to get these super teams, even in the NBA or NFL, you know, you still need people that get along, people to understand their roles, and everybody can't be the leading scorer. Everybody can't be the best player. And when you're fighting about things like that, it's hard to deal with them. And if you don't have any leadership, remember the Izzo way, a player-coach team is better than a coach-coach team, because players are around each other like in an hour. They'll be in that locker room talking. There'll be no coaches around. They'll be in there after at the meal tonight talking. And that's where a lot of work gets done. And I, every game, and I'll say it again to Cassius and Josh and Matt, you know, remember now the games are going to be won. What goes on the next couple days on the plane, the hotel, the practices. And if you don't have any experience telling you that, I give a lot of credit to what John Calipari has done and what Mike has done, and they've won a lot of games, but there is nothing. And when they had their most success, there were a couple of key upperclassmen, I think. It's just hard to do.
I know you love Twitter and you're on it all the time. So
maybe, all the time. Maybe on it all last night.
Maybe you haven't seen some of these things. Maybe someone showed you. There's a ton of clips on there of people videoing themselves reacting to Michigan State winning. You know, the alumni groups and just guys in living rooms watching and going crazy and screaming and running around houses. I'm just wondering, that combined with what you guys came back to the other night in the arena helps you kind of understand and appreciate even more. It's big for you guys, but what this means to, I guess, a fan base, a school as a whole, really?
I don't know if it's the best question. It's the most important one to me, because I saw one video. It was of Khalil Mack in his Bulls uniform pretending to be a basketball player, which I might even talk to him about today, you know, see if he has any eligibility or wants to come up. But what I came back to the other night, for me, was it just says it all, you know, looking out there and seeing more people than in my hometown that were – it's been exciting. We've had some great welcomings over the years. Never won this late or this big. And the credit goes to this arena, to our marketing people, to our police who came out and did such – I mean, we came back and the players couldn't believe the parking lot was packed. And there's always people that are involved in that. And but it wasn't the number. It was the passion that that number had that night. And – I have gotten letters. We always get letters or emails from all over the country. But I think because of, you know, we've been through a lot here, I think people...
Yeah, that's a bit of what Izzo had to say concerning the Monday morning gathering at the Breslin Center. And it was so packed in that parking lot, Jack. I was going to drive you home, and you said, "Nah, Al, no thanks. It's going to take a while for you to get out this parking lot."
Just had to save some time.
Right, I'll walk. So Jack walked home. Yeah, it took me about 20 minutes to get out of that parking lot. Okay. More on Michigan State in the Final Four. We'll have Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearin Jr. on the show tomorrow. Don't miss it. See you Wednesday, folks, and be easy, people.